You've heard the old adage, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But is that really what you need to do when life throws curveballs at you? Yeah, I know I'm mixing metaphors, but hey, check out this next story, Covenant's Table Talk. All right, so I'm here with Sandy Lisenby, a longtime member of our church, one of the people that if you've been coming to 945, which used to be called Alive, you would have seen her on stage many a years. But Sandy, it's been a while since she'd been able to go on stage, so tell us what's been going on that has not allowed you to go back on stage and sing publicly.
Well, I don't know how to say this. I have been sick or under the weather, or I was diagnosed in 2020 with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And that sort of set my life in a tailspin. And we've just been dealing with that diagnosis and working toward living.
And during this, what part of 2020 was that? What part of the year was that?
January.
So before the pandemic, you got diagnosed, and you have attacked this thing head on, and you've not looked back. You stared it in the face, and against some tough odds. Your latest, and I know at this recording, when we're recording this, you have not got the latest scans, but the scan previous to this, you had what I would say was decent results, right?
Yes, correct. There was the mass in the pancreas is still gone. It was gone in November. I'd have to go back and look. I think it was 2021. There was no sign of the mass. It has been gone since then, and I will get the results of my newest scan tomorrow.
And you'll get this. You'll be hearing this Thursday, and we're recording this on a Monday. So that's when you'll get the results. But
yes.
But you've had, like I said, back to back good results. But
yes.
The process in this whole deal is continued treatments. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
And you've had some doozies of some treatments, I believe, in the last couple of years.
Yes. In the beginning, we started out with the most aggressive treatment that you can have for pancreatic cancer. And I had, I believe, six of those treatments. I had to stop before the last treatment, because it was just they were so harsh that I just couldn't take another one. But yes, I had the very harshest, most aggressive treatment that you could have in the very beginning. We did have to switch after that to the next level, which is still a high level, and we've not switched from that since. I did drop one when the mass left, completely gone. He dropped one medication, but we're back on the another medication. So we have that continued treatment.
And during this process, you've had some changes in your family. Is that correct?
In my what? Again,
in
my
your family.
Family.
You've had some changes in your family. Share with us what has gone on in the life of your family. Really, since 2020, you get this diagnosis, bad news, you don't want to hear it, but everything's not bad news in the Lisenby family, is it?
No. January 2020 was one of the darkest days of my life, but December of 2020, we had the greatest joy in our life. God showed out, and Madeline Elizabeth Choquette was born December the 15th of 2020. So, yes, a bright light in that year. He showed out and gave us a wonderful blessing of hope.
And I can't remember exactly the date. It was in 21, though, when Maddie was baptized. And that was probably, Sandy, I would think, that might have been the first time I'd seen you since you started taking treatments because of COVID and everything like that. We all had to be careful, right? And your immune system was so low that you weren't going to take chances. And truthfully, your husband was not going to let you take a chance.
That's correct. I have had a lot of help. My husband, if it weren't for him, I may not really even be here without God's directing him, because that first treatment was so harsh. We had to come off of that treatment. In the words of the doctor, we had to come off of that treatment because he couldn't do that to me anymore. I might not have survived. He said I would not have survived COVID if I had gotten it. So yes, we had to go into isolation. And that was the only outing I had had, was Maddie's baptism. That's correct.
And since that time, continued treatments, and it literally has been up and down physically, depending on the week, depending on the day. But it seems to me, Sandy, that in the last few months, there's been a whole lot more ups than there has been downs. Am I accurate in that assumption?
Yes, you are accurate. We switched our treatment plan. I have a wonderful doctor, and he switched my treatment plan. I'm on a week, off a week, and my body's handling that better, and I am getting stronger. And as you said before, the previous scan before this one, there was no cancer in my body anywhere. And my CA marker was down in the normal range. There was no cancer that showed anywhere in my body. Mass still gone, and my body is handling this better. You are correct.
And something else, and I've mentioned this at least a couple times in messages over the last few years, is that in the middle of all this, in the middle of the bad treatments and the good times, the ups and downs, you've had a consistent message on the one platform that you have been able to sustain over the course of this treatment, and that is the way that you present yourself on Facebook. And I'm not really sure. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but all I want to acknowledge is, and maybe you can respond to this a little more detail about why it is in your life, that there seems to be, a couple of times you'll put out there, just a tough day, y'all, but majority of the times you're praising God in these moments, that there's more praise on your lips, way more than woe is me on your lips. So what's going on in your life, particularly during this treatment, that has brought that more to the forefront than what most of us would see? How can she do that? How can she maintain that through all this?
Kyle, since I was a little girl, I have viewed God as my best friend, Jesus as my best friend. I was an only child, and my home life was wonderful as a little girl, little child. But as I grew up, got in elementary school, things changed. I had some hard times, and because I was invited, we did not go to church as a family, but because I was invited to church by a friend, I met Jesus, asked him into my heart, and clung on to him with white knuckles my whole life. If it hadn't been for God, I don't know where I would be. I had no supervision. I had to go live with relatives after my parents died when I was a teenager. And throughout my life, God has placed people in my life to keep me grounded, to keep me in church, provided rides to church. I didn't have a way to church. God somehow found a way, well, because he's God, obviously, put people in my life and on my path to keep me on the right path. And he is all I've ever known. I don't know how I don't know how not to believe that he will come through for me. I don't know how to believe that. I don't know how not to believe in him, how not to praise him. There's so many good things, because I believe that God is a good God. And when you read the Bible, and I've read the Bible my whole life, because that's how I learned about him. He has so much compassion. When I read about Jesus and all of his compassion for the crowds and for the people, everyone who came to him and wanted healing, he healed. Everyone who came to him and wanted anything from him, he gave it to them without hesitation. He looked at the crowds, had compassion on them, fed them, clothed them, cooked breakfast for the disciples after he was raised again. Just over and over and over, the Bible tells us and shows us how precious he is and how much he loves us. How could he not love me that much? I can't fathom a world or my world or my life without him in it. He's all I've ever known. And so I know in my knower, if that makes any sense, how much he loves me, and he's not going to let me go. No matter what happens in this life, on this earth, I believe what he says. That there's a verse that I cling to that says, what would have become of me? What would have become of me if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? In the land of the living, right here, right now, in this age. And as I was, right after I was diagnosed, I was, as you said, I have had some bad days. I'm human. I'm going to have bad days. But I was crying, literally crying out to him. And he led me to the verse that says, don't throw away your confidence. Literally, I opened my Bible and was reading about his sacrifice and about how he died for us over again, how much he loved us. And the verse, don't throw away your confidence because you need endurance. So he was telling me, you got to endure it. We're going to get through it. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm not going to let you go. I don't know any other way to believe. I can't see it any other way. I have to praise him because he is so, so good, so good.
And as you're sharing, Sandy, it has to be, well, not has to be, but in my opinion, I believe that the reason that you've been able to go through all this and still be positive and to some extent have clear scans and stuff, you got to say, that's all God.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we believe he's using the medicine and everything like that, but we know, sure. You and I have both known people over the years that when they give up, it's over.
Sure.
You know, so they don't fight. They don't have the faith to continue on. I mean, James Barr is one of those people that kept going. He kept going.
Absolutely.
Because he had a faith that I have a God bigger than this, what's in my body. Right.
Absolutely.
So this faith that has been ingrained in you and had been nurtured all these years, obviously was tested during, particularly 2020. But as you've moved through this process and particularly coming into this year, I guess it started maybe last fall. I ask you to be a part of something that you can do.
Yes.
You have obviously been on stage for many years, gave of time and practice and rehearsals and all this stuff to be on stage at our contemporary service. So you had been used to giving and giving and giving, probably, you know, many hours at times for practice and services. And when that you stepped away for a season, and then obviously you couldn't even fill in the last couple of years. But I asked you to do something that I believed that this church needed, and tell people what is going on right now of how you're serving in our church.
Well, right now I'm a part of the prayer team. which has been one of the best and most positive things that I could have, that could have happened. Because in the darkest time, when you feel like you're not doing anything to show your faith, that's not what I want to say. When you don't have an outlet to praise God and to show how wonderful He is, you just want to do something. Something I can do is pray. I can pray for others. I can ask for prayers for myself, which is one of the first things that I did when I was diagnosed, because I believe in the power of prayer. That's our conversation, our relationship with God. That's how we communicate with Him. And we not only do we read His word, we pray, we talk to Him. Prayer is nothing but a conversation with God. And if I can just pray for someone else, at least I feel like I'm helping, doing something, giving back in some way. And that was one of the most beneficial, most positive, wonderful things that could have happened for me, was to become a part of the prayer team. It has done more for me than I can even put into words.
And of course, that was one of those things that I turned over to somebody else and said, could you handle this? Because this all started about the time we had the transition in the church and all this other stuff. Sure. So I sort of took my hands off of that for a little bit, and just literally trusted God and trusted your team with this. So tell me a little bit, because when I set it up, I was asking, you know, if somebody gives us a phone number or an email, do we still follow up with them, at least let them know, hey, you've been prayed for? Are we still able to do that?
Yes, I get emails every Monday. We get emails every Monday for the people who, for our congregation, or for anyone who wants to have a prayer request. They request for prayer, and yes, we have a team that we set up schedules. I set up a schedule, send it out, and those people are prayed for every week, absolutely. And we send notes, we text, we let them know that their prayer request has been heard, their prayer request has been lifted up to God. We are doing everything we can to help them in that way.
And that's sort of been a pet peeve of mine for years, because Sandy, when you worked at Noah's Ark, you sang there for a summer, you've been around Christian ministry a lot. And you heard a lot of people say, probably, well, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do you know they are? No, you really don't. But our prayer team makes sure that each person that they give us any type of contact, whether it's a snail mail or email or a phone, we let them know.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Your name, your concern, was lifted up, so they at least know that. At least one member of the prayer team is, but by and large, everybody in the prayer team is praying the same prayers for those people each and every week. It's not just because it's your week, you're praying for everybody else, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We pray for them every time we get those needs. They are lifted up before our Heavenly Father, because that's just the most wonderful thing. That's the most powerful thing that we can do. Is lift them up before the Lord, pray for them. The way I view prayer, and this is just me, it's we're our hearts are together in unison. We're unified in praying and lifting up that person's need. And it goes before the Lord, and He hears them. There's no doubt in my mind. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And so when we get together, whenever those prayer concerns come out and the prayer team gets those prayer concerns, we're praying for those people. They're unified, and God hears it. I know that He does.
And
He's God.
Yeah, part of the reason that I wanted to talk to you is here, update on your story, but also just to thank you for being being for taking the leadership of this team, and also as a way of, you don't like me doing this a whole lot of holding you up and bragging about you, but I'm going to do it anyway because you can't stop me because you're on the phone and you're not in front of my face to slap me, right? So I just want to encourage anybody out there that is listening, there is a place for everyone in this church to fulfill what God has called them to do. At one point in their life, Sandy felt called to help lead in worship. When that season was over, what was the next thing? Well, the next thing was leading the prayer team, being a part of the prayer team. So if you were out there in the life of this church, and COVID did us a number, a lot of people backed off of using any of their gifts in the life of the church. If you're one of those people that has backed away and all you do is listen on Sunday or just attend and you're not using any of the gifts that God has given you, hey, Sandy Lisby stepped up when she was not feeling like it. When she, during the down times, she was praying. During the up times, she was praying. It didn't matter. She was using that gift that God had given her. And that prayer gift is, I think most of us got that. I think most.
Everybody. Everybody. Yes, Kyle. Everybody can lift a prayer up before our Lord. And we have a wonderful prayer team. And every person on that team steps up. And whether we write notes or send emails or texts, everyone on that prayer team is praying for all of those needs. And if you feel anyone out there feels led to pray for anyone, please come and be a part of our prayer team. We would love to have you. It's such a wonderful feeling to be able to lift someone up before the Lord and pray that their needs are met. It's the most wonderful thing you could do, just to pray for someone else.
And again, I just want to thank you, but I also want to say, all right, I want to have you and a couple other people back with us in August of this year. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
The month of August is 31 days of prayer. In the past, it was 20 or something like that, but there's 31 days in August. We're going to make it 31 days of prayer. This year, the focus will be on intercessory prayer. And so,
wonderful.
Which is what you guys are doing, right? But
yeah,
there's so much more that we can tap into, so much more that we can lean into and learn. And so, so I'll revisit you and a couple of people on your team in August to sort of update us on where we're at and how the team, other individuals go about interceding for all the requests that we get. And, you know, you've seen the list. I get the list. We're not inundated with a whole bunch of people right now, which is not knowledgeable. I'm not sure why more people don't tap into the one resource that you have counted on, the one resource that has gotten you through these last 3 years.
Absolutely. The prayers, I feel I've said it before on Facebook, as you said, that was my only outlet to get out there, how wonderful and how good God is and how he has brought me through and continuing to carry me and my family, which someone I haven't mentioned is my new little grandson, the newest member, Boone, little fella. I don't want to not mention him, but as good as God is, he has blessed us so much, and those prayers have brought us this far. And without those prayers, I'm telling you, I really don't know. I feel like the man that they tore the roof up for, the man his friends tore the roof up for to put him down in front of Jesus for him to be healed. That's the way I envision prayer. You have people praying for you. and praying for others and are actually bringing them before the Lord, and He hears. He hears. Please, if anyone out there has a prayer need, don't hesitate to put them on the prayer request form, on the attendance pads, or email the church. We are more than happy. It's our privilege and our honor to pray for you or for anyone out there.
Well, Sandy, thank you again for sharing with us. We'll check back with you in the month of August. And I was just thinking, our kids are, what, 29 years old now? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So 23 or 24 years ago, both of our kids played T-ball together. Can you believe it's been that long?
And that's how we met.
We met on the T-ball field.
Yes, we did.
Way back when.
And, yes, we did.
and I think, did your daughter keep playing softball? How long did she end up playing softball? How many years?
Through her senior year.
That's what I thought. I thought both of our kids played ball all the way through.
All the way.
All started in T-ball.
Absolutely. All started there.
But Scott, a coach on that team. Was your husband coaching, helped coach that team?
He helped coach some of her ball when she was younger.
I couldn't remember if he was a coach on that T-ball team, because I do remember Scott coaching softball and getting kicked out of a game. I do remember that.
Well, he's passionate about his girls. Anything he does with a great passion and love for the game and for his girls or for his players. So he's going to, you know how he is, he's going to do his very best for them.
and I will end with this note, and he is passionate about his wife. And that has shown out these last 3 years as well. So God bless you, Sandy. God bless Scott. And may God continue to bless Maddie Boone and Cammy and Lauren. And what a great Mother's Day for you and Lauren to celebrate this past week. When you get to enjoy family and get to enjoy them in person and get to enjoy hugging them and kissing on them when there was a while that was not happening. So
it was not even possible. And because of God, it is possible now.
Great. Thanks again, Sandy. You have a great day. And for all those you listening today, may God bless you. Continue to join us on Sunday mornings. Crazy People is coming up. We got two more editions of Crazy People. And we're still looking in the Bible. We're not looking to our staff members or anything like that. We're looking at the people in the Bible. And God bless you. Have a great day. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Kyle.